to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, I've been exploring the question, how can we find clarity about God in a world so full of so many different religious claims? We've seen that pluralism, the belief that all religions are essentially one, is completely unsatisfactory. It ignores the very real differences between the faiths, and so pays very little respect to any of them. It's also pretty arrogant to insist that, say, Hindus and Buddhists really do agree, when in fact Hindus and Buddhists insist that they don't agree. But if all the religions can't be true, how can we tell if any one of them is true? Time and time again, I'm asked by people, what's so different about your Christianity? Why should I look into that instead of, say, Islam or Buddhism or Sikhism or whatever? Well, I think there is a major difference between Christianity and the other world religions. The difference can be summed up in a little word, verifiable. The claims of Christianity are in a very real sense verifiable. And this makes a world of difference when you're trying to work out how to find a signpost to God. Well, let me explain the difference between a verifiable claim and an unverifiable one. And I want you to use your imagination here as I tell you a pretty silly hypothetical. Imagine for a moment that a friend came to you today with the unusual claim that late last night his great-great-grandmother appeared to him in a dream, offering insights into the nature of the spiritual realm and of the best path to reach true spirituality. These insights included detailed descriptions of the afterlife, advice on which foods to avoid, and a collection of prayers that ought to be said in order to attain enlightenment. Imagine further that your friend wrote down in a notebook all that he could remember of the matriarch's words. He now asks you to read the notes and consider embracing this new spiritual perspective for yourself. Suppose now that another friend came to you tomorrow with the equally unusual claim that her great-great-grandmother appeared to her in a dream, offering insights into the spiritual realm. These insights, though, were radically different from the ones recounted by your other friend. The afterlife was repudiated, all foods were deemed edible, and mantras, not prayers, are said to be the key to spiritual truth. This friend also wrote down the contents of the dream and asks you to consider her revelations as the new path for your spiritual life. You now have a problem, don't you? And I don't just mean having to find some new friends. Leaving aside the bizarre nature of the revelations, the situation proposed here highlights a critical question which presents itself to all religious claims. How can the truth or falsehood of these claims be tested? The contradictions between these two revelations would certainly indicate that both of them couldn't be true at the same time. But how could you test which, if indeed either, was actually true? Well, quite simply, you couldn't. The character of these revelations means that they are beyond the scope of human inquiry. Of course, you could subject your friends to a lie detector test, but this would only demonstrate whether or not they were making up these claims. Even if both claimants could be shown not to have lied, this doesn't for a second indicate the truthfulness or otherwise of the content of the dreams. Dreams and visions are by their very nature imperceptible to all but the visionaries themselves. Philosophically speaking, claims like these can be deemed unverifiable. Now, unverifiable doesn't mean untrue. It simply means that a thing can't be tested one way or the other. They are beyond scientific or historical scrutiny. You know, virtually all of the world's religions are at their core unverifiable. Again, this doesn't mean that they're necessarily untrue. It simply means that they can't be tested or verified one way or the other. Buddhism, for instance, rests entirely on the insights gained by Siddhartha Gautama, the 6th century BC Indian prince. After 7 years of ascetic denial and contemplation, the young prince finally received his enlightenment while meditating under a bow tree one night in May. The Buddha's enlightenment consisted of insights into the true goal of life, which he believed to be the negation of self and desire. He also had enlightenment about the nature of the afterlife, karma and rebirth. He also had insights into various ethical and culinary disciplines required of those wanting to gain enlightenment. Neither the fact nor the content of his enlightenment can be tested. Nevertheless, the Buddha soon gathered around him a small group of devoted disciples who with him began to promote these teachings throughout the land as true. Islam is likewise grounded in a revelation of a private and mystical nature, the content of which is beyond analysis. Muhammad, a 7th century AD nobleman from Arabia, was from childhood inclined to ponder religious matters, and then one day in AD 610, his private reflections were enhanced by an angelic vision announcing to him, "You are the messenger of God." From this day until his death in AD 632, Muhammad received frequent and very detailed revelations. Although these revelations are said to have been accompanied by some sounds, like the ringing of a bell, the messages themselves were perceived only in the prophet's heart. The content of these communications varied. Sometimes they disclosed ethical and ritual demands, sometimes they listed corrections of Jewish and Christian teachings, and sometimes they just expounded purely doctrinal themes. All of these were subsequently proclaimed by Muhammad, committed to memory by his disciples, and compiled in the Islamic holy book, the Quran. Now, the point of my summary of Buddhism and Islam is not at all to criticize Buddhism and Islam. I'm merely trying to highlight the essentially unverifiable premise of these claims. Let me reiterate, this is not the same as saying these faiths are untrue. I'm simply drawing attention to the nature of the claims. Even if we assume that Siddhartha and Muhammad didn't make up their stories, I think that's a fairly reasonable assumption. This tells us nothing about the truthfulness or otherwise of the content of their revelations. To recall my opening hypothetical, a lie detector might show that your visionary friend was not lying, but it won't be able to validate the content of the dream itself. Such a revelation is by its very nature beyond your verification. You can't test it. Now, without turning this into a study in comparative religion, let me state quite simply that most of the world's religions are similarly unverifiable. Though, again, I'm not saying they're necessarily false. Confucianism, Hinduism, Sikhism, Baha'i, Shintoism, and all of these, they all share this unverifiable premise. Now, for the faithful of these religions, the unverifiable nature of their beliefs actually provides something of a shelter from the arguments of critics. Because no matter what humanity discovers about the physical universe or the events of history, claims like these remain untouched. The belief that Allah requires 5 prayers each day can't be disproved. The claim that life's goal is the removal of desire via the Buddha's Eightfold Path can't be shown to be false. Now, neither of these beliefs may take your fancy, but you couldn't in any way demonstrate them to be untrue. The Muslim, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Sikh, and so on, all live with the security that their faith is unassailable. It's unprovable, yes. It's a matter of pure faith, yes. But with this unverifiability comes an invincibility, not enjoyed by any tradition that dares to make a verifiable claim. So next time, I want to explain what a verifiable religion might look like, and I'll be arguing that Christianity has a high degree of verifiability. You can test it, you can assess it, and I believe find out that it is solid as a rock.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.